This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's a Monday edition of AMI at the Movies, and we've got a trailer from the new Netflix film, Red Notice.
Nolan Booth.
The man hides out in Hawaii.
The second most wanted art thief in the world.
Nolan turns to a man on his couch.
Special Agent John Hartley, FBI.
A rifle-toting SWAT team bursts in.
Hi, guys. How'd you find me?
You stole William Strang's Lady with the Red Hat from the Tate.
You can't prove that was me.
Hartley eyes a portrait on the wall.
I got that on Etsy.
A Netflix film.
I want you to help me catch the most wanted art thief in the world. The Bishop.
In a church office.
Hello, boys.
It's so nice to finally meet you in person.
The Bishop puts her red-soled boots on the desk.
She set me up. Framed me.
A few clever keystrokes and...
Hartley gets a red notice.
Bye-bye, Agent John Hartley.
He's locked in a hold.
She's gonna steal Cleopatra's eggs.
Pure gold.
They're priceless.
If we catch her together, I can clear my name.
And I'll help you become the number one thief in the world again.
I'm going to have to make some time to get around to watching this flick. Amy Amanti, our film reviewer, already has and is here to offer up her thoughts on the flick. Amy, of course, is also the host of the AMI podcast, Accessing Art with Amy. Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Red Notice. The trailer kind of gave a lot of that away, but what's it about?
All right. Well, this is going to be a summary from the trailer, but yes, the movie basically opens with this really cool kind of you almost feel like you're watching an archaeological documentary. But they start talking about Cleopatra's eggs. So Mark Antony had given Cleopatra these three bejeweled eggs as a symbol of his love. And throughout history, those eggs have been lost. One of them ends up in a very famous museum in Rome. And so there's a plot that starts to unfold around the stealing of these eggs. And so this is sort of how we open the film. And then as we go through the film, the plot kind of develops and you see that the number two art thief in the world needs to team up with an FBI agent to become the number one art thief in the world. And I can't tell you anymore because I would just spoil it, how they come together. But basically that's what we're looking at here in Red Notice.
We heard it referenced in the trailer that the Red Notice means something beyond the title of this film. What does it mean?
Okay, so the Red Notice is an actual real thing, and it's the highest level of arrest warrant that's issued by the International Criminal Police Organization, otherwise known as Interpol, and it's reserved for the world's most wanted criminals. So it's basically like a be on the lookout or it's a warrant, but it goes worldwide, right? So if criminals are crossing borders, we are able to alert other police departments and follow their movements and stuff like that. So
I recognized one of the actors in that trailer because he is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Who else is in the cast?
Yes, well, we do have Dwayne Johnson in the cast, and he plays our FBI agent. And Ryan Reynolds is our art thief, Nolan Booth. And then we've got Gal Gadot, who's the Bishop, who is right now in this film anyways, considered the number one art thief in the world. The number one art thief and the number two art thief are always competing to be the top art thief. So there's kind of this fun battle between them two that continues to happen through the movie.
So we have The Rock, we have Deadpool, we have Wonder Woman. This is an A-list kind of cast. Any standouts do you want to highlight?
Yeah, you know, I think what I would say is that they're all at the top of their game. They all know what they're doing. They all are playing characters that feel very familiar to us in terms of this kind of genre. Like Ryan Reynolds, we know, is almost a very slapsticky kind of deadpan comedic And he does it right in this. I mean, a lot of his lines are like this when they talk about in the trailer there, that famous piece of work that has been stolen. He says, well, you can't pin that on me. And they look on the wall and there's that piece of art. And he's like, well, I got it on Etsy. Like, you know, so there's a lot of that kind of humor. And Ryan Reynolds does that really, really well.
Let's talk about genre, because you mentioned sort of action comedy. I think there's probably a little bit of a heist film element in here, maybe a bit of that Ocean Eleven's vibe. How do you think this film did it blending genre?
Yeah, I think there were some real creative ways in which they brought all these pieces together. I mean, typically some of the art or the heist type movies that I've seen don't have such a comedic element. I mean, they have like quips in it, right? Because otherwise sometimes it gets too intense and we need the audience to have a moment to breathe. But this is almost the opposite of that. This is almost like a heist based purely in comedy. So it's a bit of a refreshing watch because, you know, your mind isn't quite ready for the amount of comedy. I don't think I wasn't ready for it. I was thinking of it more as a bit more of a serious take on this theft that's happening. But then I was like, oh, right, it's Ryan Reynolds. Okay. You know, I have to remind myself who's playing in this film, right? So so I think they did a really good job at sort of blending these different genres together. And that's really what's exciting for me about filmmaking and watching films is we get the opportunity to be really creative in bringing together these different kinds of genres and characters to play in these genres.
Yeah, and I think when you start blending genres, that can sometimes make it even more palatable to the audience. You can draw a few more people in by casting the net out, by making the tents bigger.
Right.
Sometimes that can work to the detriment of the storytelling, but it sounds like the tone on this was mostly fun throughout.
Yeah, it's a fun tone. I mean, of course, there are lots of moments. I'm going to say they're little roller coaster. They're junior Disney roller coaster moments. We'll say that. But I will say, after being in Disneyland right before the pandemic, I will tell you that the junior roller coasters are still a heck of a ride. I will just say that.
As someone who doesn't like heights, I can agree to that. I'm like, yep, that makes sense.
So yeah, there's a lot of really lovely moments in this. And then a lot of like things, again, you know, you're watching it and you have these moments of laughter and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I totally wasn't expecting that, but I love that happened right there. So it was fun.
It's a Netflix film, which typically means the description is going to be good, but overall, how would you evaluate it?
Yeah, the description was pretty good. There's some chase sequences and some fight sequences, as you would absolutely expect from a film like this. And I thought that they were described quite well. Again, you know, here's me on my soapbox talking about the lack of diversity in our description. So, you know, both Gal Gadot and Dwayne Johnson are people of color, but you would never know this because they don't let you in on that casting choice. So unless you know who these folks are as professionals, you don't know. And there's lots of characters of color because, you know, it's Interpol, it's international police, you know. But again, it presents as a very white film from that perspective.
You, as always, have some interesting facts about the making of this film. What you got for us?
Yeah, well, what I thought was kind of interesting was that this film actually received generally very negative reviews from critics, right? People who are paid to write reviews at a very high level. For whatever reason, it became the most watched film in its debut weekend on Netflix. Right? So that's a real like dichotomy of this film sucks, don't watch it, and everybody's watching it.
Yeah. So
I thought that was kind of interesting. But I must say, and I you know, as a fledgling critic myself for AMI, and I enjoy this very much, when I read critics' reviews, that for me is never the I will or I won't see something. It's just somebody's opinion, right? So you always have to sort of base that as you will. I want to just tell you, too, that the each cast member, so Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, and Dwayne Johnson, are each paid a whopping $20 million to star in this film. $20 million.
Well, I hope it was very, very much watched then because there was some investments made on the acting front.
Very much so.
I read that it looks like they're going to have some sequels to this one already. The early success in terms of viewership means they're going to head back and make a few more because why ever make anything original? Just reboot what already works.
That's right. I mean, there could be a Red Notice 2 and a Red Notice 3, just like there was an Ocean's 11 and an Ocean's 12. And there's some rumors happening about that in particular. My hope is that, and you know this very well, Dave, that sometimes we go to the extreme, and then the quality starts to drop down. Mm-hmm. And this one is, like, as fun as this is, you know, it's... I don't think it's the type of film that has a long-lasting longevity over many iterations of it. I think it's kind of a, for me, it's a one and done.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I would want to see a second one because for this, you know.
It's the star power thing. I think just when you have that much star power, you can try to sort of draw people past the curtain. Plus, it's Netflix. Once you log in and the algorithm feeds it to you, okay, I'll watch that.
That's a very good point.
Out of 10, how would you rate it?
I gave this one an 8.5. It's, you know, for some people, it's going to be too cheesy. It just is. And for some people, it's not going to have quite enough action. But for me, it kind of hit each of those marks in a certain way. So I felt like I was getting kind of a little bit of exposure from every genre in one film. And I kind of enjoyed that. But to be honest with you, Dave, I did have to start and stop it a couple of times because a part of me in the middle got a little like, I have a movie to watch. So, you know, watch it. Don't watch it in the middle of the night like I do. You need to have a good brain thinking power to be able to get this.
Don't be totally zoned out. Amy, one last question before we go. I know you're a big fan of theater and musical theater. Netflix recently released a Tick, Tick, Boom, which is sort of an autobiographical picture about the person who wrote Rent. Have you watched it yet?
I haven't watched it yet, but I think you could probably stay tuned for a review because it's on my watch list.
Yes.
But Dave, just, you know, we just finished my show last night, that 16 runs in the theater. So now I have a little more time on my hands in the evenings to be able to watch some content. But Tick, Tick, Boom is definitely high on my list.
I kind of feel like you're going to know how to fill your time. I feel like there's no shortage of ways that you know how to occupy yourself.
Since I'm such a big Rent head, like, I could not watch it.
Okay. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.